Big Sloth.
We weren't in Spider-Man.
Yes, we were.
Homecoming.
You were in Spider-Man.
No.
Yeah.
I was in Avengers.
No,
Avengers.
You were in Spider-Man also. Remember Spider-Man at the end and Tom Holland's there and you're going to walk out and do a press conference. And I give you the ring.
Yes.
That was Spider-Man.
That was Spider-Man?
Hobo Radio, the official podcast of HoboTrashCan.com. You can share your thoughts on the show anytime by emailing Joel at Murphy's Law@HoboTrashCan.com.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to Hobo Radio. So stay tuned.
And now, two guys with worse jokes than me. Joel Murphy and Lars.
Hello again. I'm Joel Murphy. This is Hobo Radio. And with me, he ain't small. He's Big Vinegar.
Oh my God. What a wonderful way to start the day.
It does. It feels better.
It feels really good. Thank you.
It's like 8 in the morning here. It's really exciting.
Yep. How's it going?
It's good. I realize I gotta, like, if we're gonna do this, and I'm down to do it, I gotta learn more about Vinegar, because, like, I just, my instinct is to, like, make a reference to douching or something. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know a lot of, like,
that's probably the last thing people think about when they hear the word vinegar.
I gotta be honest, because, like, I did the Boardwalk Fries thing, and then uh-huh. I'm like, that's it. What else to be? Fish and chips.
A nice salad dressing.
Salad dressing. That's true. Yeah.
No. The mother. Hey, listen, man. I gotta. Is it okay if I use this our public forum to issue some apologies?
Oh, always.
Okay.
It's good because it's public, but no one's listening. So.
Exactly. So technically, I have said it to the public. They just got to tune in to hear it.
Yeah.
So yesterday I had it was our trivia playoffs. My trivia team,
Annie's
boob.
Yeah,
we went to playoffs again, and we once again shit the bed. We're up to 20 now.
20 times that you've made it to the playoffs and have
and completely crapped the bed. Yeah.
Also, was Jonathan Monroe there?
No, Jonathan Monroe was not there.
Okay.
He wasn't in charge of our facility. It's 5 years, 4 times a year that we cannot do well. Anyways, it starts at noon and it's in a bar. So we just had some drinks and then one of my teammates said, "Hey, why don't you, I'm right up the street. Why don't you come over and we'll like hang out." And then I get there, and he says, "Okay, I actually had an agenda with you coming over."
Oh, no.
Yeah. He said, I'm supposed to go to this gender reveal party. But I'm pretty sure if I get too drunk, I won't have to go to this. So, what would you like to drink? So we had some drinks.
Mm-hmm. You're a hero. I don't know what you're going to be apologizing for, but this is good. This is a good use of your time. Especially, with like, gender reveal parties are terrible.
Yeah, they're really bad. So everything there was fine. But then I went crazy.
Ooh.
I didn't go too crazy, but I walked home from Federal Hill. It's a couple miles. Walked through my beautiful city. And I guess where should I start? Let me start with our friend Pat. I keep talking to Pat about lesbians from Nova Scotia.
I feel like that needs a little bit more explanation.
No.
Like, you just threw that out there as if that would explain itself.
It was, I just think it's peculiar, not peculiar. It's interesting to me that most of the people that we know from Nova Scotia are women who date other women.
How many people do you know from Nova Scotia?
Ellen Page.
Oh. Oh, you mean in the public spotlight. Yeah. I thought you meant you personally.
No, I don't know a lot of people from Nova Scotia.
Okay.
But basically, if they aren't a trailer park boy, and they're from Nova Scotia.
Is it just Ellen Page, or do you actually have...
Sarah McLachlan?
Oh, okay. All right.
Feist? And I don't even know Feist's sexual orientation. I just imagine she's a lesbian because she's cool and I like her. I don't know. It's not my, not really my business. But I don't know. I think I just sent him one text. But that's a random, stupid fucking text to get. And the night previous to yesterday, I ran into Pat and I did, like, had a long conversation with him about Nova Scotian lesbians. It's very stupid, and I feel like I should apologize to everyone. I'm sorry, Pat. I'm sorry, Nova Scotia. I'm sorry, lesbians. I'm sorry, Nova Scotian lesbians. It's none of my business. I don't know. I think it's kind of fun that most of the women I know from Nova Scotia like other women. I don't know. Weird.
What are, like, I'm just curious. I mean, we're coming off the heels of Pride, so step lightly. But but what are you apologizing for? Like, broadly stereotyping a group of people?
I think I was
generally being a monster.
Yep, that
your entire
things,
life up until now, every interaction that everyone's ever had with you, the way you make people feel. Okay, I'm sorry, I was trying to help.
These are broad strokes you're using now.
You know what? I apologize for steamrolling your apology.
The show of apologies. And then more specifically, just apologizing to Pat for sending him nonsensical texts when I was a little goofy in the middle of the day. And I was like, oh, I just thought of another lesbian from Nova Scotia. I definitely need to send this text. Stupid. Really stupid.
So did the person make the gender reveal party, or they dipped out?
I hope not. No, yeah. I don't think he made it. I don't think he made it.
So what, like, you know, besides the fact that, you know, we are finally, like, getting to a point where we're, like, having, like, better discussions about the fact that gender is not binary and gender is not biological and all of that, you know, why would you even just want to go to, like, that sounds like the worst party ever.
No, it sounds like the worst party ever. The whole thing, the whole exercise is pointless. That's what I said to him. I said, yo, we live in an age now where we're, like, kind of more understanding that people are different and they might not be born into the body they're most comfortable with. And so you have a gender reveal party before this thing is into the world. And then 5 years later, it's a different thing. Also, this blue and pink thing is bullshit. The entire exercise to me is pointless and stupid. And I'm with any excuse to, like, hang out with people that you like and have drinks and have fun. But this thing is dumb. It's real dumb.
Doesn't it also, can we really, like, not get around the fact that, let's really look at what this is? Because, so you become pregnant. Which means you're already become a terrible person. Most of you, I'm painting with broad brushes again, but most pregnant women, kind of insufferable.
Pregnant women are smug.
There's a whole song about it.
The whole song.
But I can't wait for the comments on this.
No one's gonna listen to this show. It's fine.
Yeah, no one listens. We don't get comments.
No. I mean, it's beautiful. You're making life. It's great. Children are wonderful. I love children. Parents are really great. And I don't just mean, you know, I said women, but the men are terrible too. Everyone who has a kid is terrible for a while.
Jesus Christ.
For a while. Look, I mean, I'm just saying the earth is dying. Like, with global warming, you have a kid now. What are they even being?
What the fuck are you even talking about?
What are they even being born into? Like, you're fucking, hey, I hope you enjoy the next 10 years before it becomes water world. Like, good luck to you.
Jesus Christ.
We have a lot of problems. They're going to be yours. Anyway. I might have gotten off on a tangent. But look, point being, like, so you have a kid. That's wonderful. It's great. Kids are great. I love kids. But, like, you already get, like, you announce that you're pregnant. Everyone's really excited. You get that bump. you know, like, yay, you're pregnant. Everyone's super excited. You get all the likes on Facebook. Then you're going to have, at some point, a baby shower. And that's great. You know, like, kids are expensive. People love you. They come together. They're going to give you stuff. You know, that's really great. Like, hey, here's some stuff to help you out. You need some, you need a crib. You need a the seat. That's great. Hey, Warhol, happy to do it for you. So excited you're having a kid. That's wonderful. Let's have a party. And then at some point, you're going to have the kid. Everyone's going to get really excited again. Hey, you had the kid. That's great. When can I see the kid? What can we do? Let's come over and hang out. You really need another fucking party to tell us the... Like, you're sneaking in a fourth celebration of you having the kid. Like...
Don't forget push presents.
Push presents.
What the fuck is that?
Do you want to... Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Bring her in.
Yeah, yeah.
The fuck is a push
present? So push presents are something I heard about when a friend of mine had a kid, where you are gifted anything from a little bracelet to a fucking car for doing what you do when you get pregnant, which is deliver a baby, which is supposed to be gifted to you by your partner. Why? I don't know. I thought the baby was the present. I was always raised with the understanding that what you do for a woman who's just given birth is go over to her house and, like, cook food and clean and watch the baby while she showers. Like, right. That's... If there is a concept such as a push present, that is a push present. But apparently a Mercedes is actually what a push present
is.
Which it must be nice to be rich, because that is so beyond something I could ever conceive of until... Oh, ha. Choice of wording. That's funny. but I could never fathom that until someone told me, like, yeah, my husband got me a car as my push present. I'm like, what world do you live in? Jeez. Like, you just had a baby and you bought a new car for no reason except to reward you for pushing out a baby? That's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I can't have a conversation anymore. I don't know how to talk to you. So anyway, that's a push present.
Ooh. Wise words.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, just stop it. Stop it.
You want to hear... Oh, man. This is really fucked up, but like, so when our friend Ethan was having having his first baby, he and Elisa were having their first baby, and they decided that they were gonna have a co-ed baby shower, and I said, "Oh, that I'm not going to a baby shower." So
good luck.
And
with
he
that.
Was like, and he goes like, "No, it's gonna be cool. There's like, we're gonna have beers. It's gonna be fun." I was like, "Cool, cool, cool." Not going to that.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
And that's when he had like a like for real talk, like a serious talk. He was like, "Hey, you're a member of this fucking family. You're coming to this goddamn thing." I said, "Okay." And then the baby was premature, and so I'm standing there. I'm standing next to him, like arm around him in the NICU, looking at his firstborn in the incubator, and you know, my heart is simultaneously swelled and breaking for him, because that's a rough situation, but everything was fine. And he's I know this kid now. I watched the kid when they were having the second baby. Really good, awesome kid who is a private citizen until he decides otherwise, but he's awesome and it's fantastic. And the whole time I'm standing there looking at the baby in the incubator, I just kept thinking, I'm still better than a baby shower. Rather be here than there, I think.
By the way, I hope everyone realizes my very tongue-in-cheek, summation of the people who are having children.
No, we took it quite literally.
Yeah, yeah, I meant
you want them to stop.
I meant everyone.
People who have babies are terrible. You hate them all.
Okay, fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But accepting all of that, do you want to take a moment to say, congratulations, Greg?
Congratulations, Greg!
I was very excited. I genuinely... It was... Their announcement was almost too cute, because I didn't... I looked at it at first and didn't get that they were having kids. I was like, oh, they're wearing matching sweaters.
Yeah, I didn't too. I got a phone call from... What are we talking about? So our friend, past and future guest, and my very oldest friend I've known him since I was 7 years old. Greg and his partner Margie are having twins, I guess.
Yeah, they're having twins, but they announced it by wearing, they were wearing matching Star Trek sweaters.
Uh-huh.
And she was doing like the, you know, the Vulcan thing.
Live long and prosper.
And it was like, it was a very, like, it was very cute. It was very nicely done, but it was like the way that it was worded, it was like, you know, yeah, you know, these are the stories of you know, the, like, it was written in the language of Star Trek, but almost like too well written, and they're dressed the same, and it was saying something about twins, and like, you know, I, let's be honest, I was like probably in the bathroom or something, and like scrolling through Facebook, and I was like, oh, that's cute, they're dressed, man, people really like that they're dressed the same. Oh wait I get it now. They're having twins. No, they're not twins.
Like, what do you mean, congratulations? They're just, they bought the same sweater.
Yeah, that's, it's easy to target. Like, you just... But yeah, it was like I missed it. Like, my brain didn't process it at first.
I couldn't either. I got a phone call from my mother who said, I think Greg and Margie may... Can you translate this for me? I don't understand.
I feel better that I wasn't the only one.
No, you weren't the only one.
No, but that's awesome. I'm genuinely very excited.
Even though you hate them now and everything they're going to do in the future.
I don't hate them.
I mean, that's pretty much what you said.
I didn't say I hate them. I said they're probably going to become insufferable. And in 10 years, their kid is going to inherit Waterworld. That's what I said.
You did insinuate that you'd rather they never contact you ever again.
I definitely didn't say that.
Are you sure?
I definitely didn't say that. I said that they shouldn't have a gender reveal party, and I feel very strongly about that.
Okay. They should have two gender reveal parties.
Or they should have a gender reveal party that no one understands what they say. At the end, like, it's very...
Yeah, they cut the cake and it's plaid. How did you... What is the...
Yeah, there's not even a cake. Yeah, they... Well, yeah. This is not real. It's a construct, so there's nothing. We'll come back in enough years for the kid to tell you. Uh-huh. Like, so that's when the reveal will be.
When we pop this balloon, then all will be revealed, and they pop it and it's just fire. What does that... I don't know what's going on.
It means be very afraid of this child.
I'm about to, because they live, her work has taken them to Malta, and they live in Malta, and I did contact him and say, pardon me, but you need to come back to America to have that baby, otherwise it's not America.
Well, isn't, on a very real level, then the kid couldn't become president, right? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, that's totally what happens.
Yeah. So, think about that, Greg. Do you want your kid to be president of Waterworld?
You're already being very irresponsible with the life of these children.
It is there's twins. So, like, you got, like, a 50-50 shot. Like, maybe one of them won't be president, but one of them might, you know?
I don't know if you call that a 50-50 shot.
Isn't that how that works?
I think that's pretty much how, like, there's a chance. That, no, it doesn't work like that. I think
that was actually... That was a Tony Kornheiser joke that he would always say there's a 50-50 chance of anything happening. Like, when you really think about it, like...
Jesus Christ, did you just reference Tony Kornheiser on our podcast?
I'm trying to be relevant. So I'm trying to quote an old man who does local sports in D.C.
Local sports. Oh, my God. You have anything for Jim Rome? Want to talk about Jim Rome?
No.
I'm Jim Rome. Speaking of sports, though, have you been watching this World Cup?
Not really. I gotta be honest. Like, I played soccer during my childhood.
Did you really? Oh, you know what? That sounds familiar.
Yeah, you don't really know that because I quit playing the year I entered high school, which is always a fun conversation to have with my father. Leaving my dad, who was my soccer coach growing up, I vividly remember we had a game. Like, I'm in full uniform. Like, we got in the car, we're driving home after the game. My dad had just coached me in, and I it had been building up, and I was kind of like, Dad, like, I really need to talk to you. I don't want to play soccer anymore. Now that I'm in high school, I want to go do theater.
That's a real Lady Bird moment.
Yeah, it was.
How did that go? What was his reaction?
It was just like Lady Bird.
Stoic.
I jumped out of the car, like just like Lady Bird.
I don't play soccer anymore. Woo, tuck and roll.
Yep, it was exactly like that. If anyone's wondering, most of my high school experience was exactly like Lady Bird. It's a mix of like Lady Bird and eighth grade. That's pretty.
Yeah. And Booksmart, right?
I haven't seen it yet, but I assume.
That's what it's like. That's what you're describing.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, I mean, but in fairness to your father, Scott.
I didn't see. I wasn't being unfair to him. I'm just telling this story.
You didn't even say he acted like a dick. He didn't. Yeah. But he did sound for all of our plays in theater. Not all of them, but a majority of them.
No, I give my dad credit because, like, he did find a way. He always showed the fuck up. Yeah. He always found a way to like get involved in the stuff that I was doing, but like in a way that he knew how to do it. Because my dad knew how to run sound because he's been playing in bands and stuff since he was 17.
Drums, right?
Drums. Yeah, my dad plays drums. Because I'm a terrible son, I learned every like drummer joke ever and would tell them to my dad. Which he was not a big fan of as me, but how do you tell if a stage is level? The drummer's drooling out of both sides of his mouth.
Jesus Christ.
It's a lot of jokes like that. How can you tell if the pizza man outside your house is a drummer? His knock speeds up.
His what?
His knock, you get it? Because, like, drummers, like, they can't keep
Jesus
the tempo.
Jesus Christ. That's pretty rough. Even for dad jokes, that's pretty rough.
It's layered because it's also implying that the drummer is a pizza man. It wants that, you know.
It's an onion of a joke, man.
It's really deep. If you really stop to think about it, there's a lot going on in that joke.
I ran track in middle school, and I was okay. I ran the 400 and 800 relay, and I did that for my freshman year of high school. And then I also decided to stop doing sports and start focusing on band and theater. I was determined to hold on to this virginity.
Yeah. I think it was just funny because I just remembered of, like, I just hit that point. And, what would the difference have been? Like, we have a friend who was my friend in middle school, and then we both like did theater with him in high school. Justin, who did theater but also played football, which seemed like a lot. And it's just like,
yeah,
I don't know. If you're a very talented athlete, or I mean, if you love it, obviously, if you love it, just keep doing it. But like, at most I had 4 years left of playing soccer. Then what was gonna happen? Like, I wasn't. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to get a scholarship. Like, I wasn't, you know, this is something I had done like since I was a little kid. And we were at the end. I feel like, you know, I got out while
that's where I was like, I got really bored because when you get in middle school, when you're running track, it's just like, yeah, run. Yep. Run some more. Okay. And then we're going to practice handing off the baton. And that's. Yeah, we're just going to keep doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get into high school, it's really like, what are you doing at home to condition yourself for this? And I'm like, I'm reading comic book. What are you talking about conditioning at home? Did the track coach just give me homework? What the fuck is this?
It was an odd experience that I imagine must have like visually been something like, almost famous what ended up happening is, so I said I didn't want to play soccer anymore. My dad ended up becoming the assistant coach at Lackey for, like, he was basically the JV soccer coach.
You talking about Lackey High School?
Lackey High School, yeah.
Where
you and I both went, which hilariously, like, is now called Admiral Henry E. Lackey, who it's named after, but when we went there, it was just called Lackey. You know.
Yep.
But anyway, like, so my dad ended up, he became the like JV coach for the women's soccer team at Lackey. And somehow, and I don't remember the circumstances, either talked me into, or I ended up, like, I don't know, as some kind of compromise or something. I worked with the team as, like, their statistician. So, like, mm-hmm. I would get on the bus and I would go to the games my freshman year, which I just think was hilarious. 'Cause again, like, I don't know, it was just like nerdy freshman, like, on a bus full of girls that, like, you know, could not have cared less that I was there.
Right.
As I'm just right, like, right. Well, you got 7 shots and, you got 4. Like, just sitting in the back of the bus. Like, again, like I said, I have to only picture it just like, what's his name in Almost Famous, that, like, you know, it had to be more adorable than anything else. Like,
it was probably pretty sad.
It was also or sad.
Yeah. Probably pretty. I mean, one hesitates to just throw out a word like pathetic, but it was probably pathetic. And they all simultaneously felt bad and embarrassed for you.
That sounds, that does sound more like high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, to put a button on that, my last race, I took the baton home and I turned it into a bong.
Man, if that isn't right on the nose. And then I became a
high school scumbag right there.
If that isn't right on the nose. Like, I do remember, by the way, do you remember? So they had freshman day at high school.
What the fuck is that?
Do you not remember that? Like, it was,
I don't
just
remember
it. It was like, so when they had the pep rally or whatever, like, for, I guess it was homecoming, they would just, like, they would pick, like, this, so after the, like, the rally, as all the freshmen are, like, going to the bus, we're gonna, like, chase them or, like, hit them. This isn't ringing a bell? Like,
no, I got hit every day. Oh. I didn't know there was a special day for it. Well, it was every day.
Well, there was, like, one day when there was, like, more, you know.
Okay. All right. But then we organized today.
But, yeah, it was supposed to be, like, freshman day. It was, like, Friday. And but, like,
we're going to do the same shit that we do to you every day, but today we have catering.
Yeah. But, like, the school knew it, so they would, like, try to let the freshmen, like, everyone was sitting in the bleachers by their, like, what grade you were in. And so they would try to let the freshmen go to their buses first to give them, like, a head start. Because this is responsible, you know, teaching or, you know, running a school. We know this is happening, so, like, we'll just give you guys, like, a 5-second head start.
Okay.
And then you're off the campus. Whatever happened. But, like, so they would let them go first. But the thing is, because I was the statistician for the girls' soccer team.
Uh-huh.
I was on the field when everyone was in the bleachers. And so they let everyone on the field go last. And I'm not kidding. Like, we're all leaving. And this very large dude who played a sport, obviously, like, it starts walking next to me as we're, like, walking towards the buses. And he's like, "You ready, man? Let's go get these freshmen." And I'm like, "Yeah, you just go on ahead and I'm right behind you." And then I just, like, yeah, I don't know, probably hid behind the girls at that point. And
you had the advantage of, you were a little bit bigger than probably all the freshmen.
Yeah, I was
right?
taller, so, like, yeah. I think I might have passed as, like, a sophomore or something.
You had that beard. You looked downtrodden.
I had a full beard. You know, my sweet.
They probably thought you were a teacher.
That's probably it. And then they,
like,
were like,
"Hey, man, like, if you get to take a break between paying your taxes, maybe we should go beat up some of these freshmen, right?"
Yeah, that was probably. I mean, sure.
Stupid. It's all stupid. Don't you want to sit them all down and go, "Hey, listen, high school dumbasses, none of this shit matters. Just fucking get through it."
God, who are the people who loved high school? Who
I don't,
like,
know, man. There's been more than one occasion I've heard some fucking guy be like, "Man, those were the best days. Wish we could go back." What the fuck experience did you have, man? It was horrible.
Yeah. No. And also, I think the thing that's nice now is I feel like it seems like with Facebook, with sort of the ability to keep, you know, in touch with people now with the internet, that high school reunions seem to have gone away. At least from what I can tell, like, yeah, I haven't seen any invites for any high school reunions, and I'm really excited about that because that, like, what? Why would you? Why? Because here's the thing: I either keep in touch with you, a la you, or I don't. And there's probably, like, either there's an active reason I don't want to talk to someone, or I just don't care. Like,
you just don't care. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I wish you guys could see this man shaking his head.
Yeah. You can tell me about your gender reveal party that you had.
Yeah, anyways, I suggest that I don't know, when is this podcast coming out?
I don't know. Because we're doing it. Okay. We're trying
to I'll just say it to you then. Watch the US women play soccer because it's unbelievable. It's not
over.
It's by the time this comes out.
Yeah, because full disclosure, like, we're recording this because you're going on vacation.
That's right. We're so banking this one. Yeah, you guys. It's been long since over. I hope you watched it because the way these women play soccer is unbelievably excellent to watch.
And because it's so fitting, don't they get paid, like, significantly less than the men's soccer team that isn't and no one cares about?
Thing. Yeah, and there's not... The most of the games there in France are they're pretty poorly attended relative to what the other World Cup gets, but they're all playing the shit out of the sport. And these women, let me tell you, you can relate to this because you're also a fan of Washington D.C. sports franchises.
That's true.
And also, I'm a fan of the Baltimore Orioles. You guys, if you don't know which team that is, it is the team that won. They won zero games within 10 games that they played.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I'm going to say it.
But Cal Ripken.
Cal! You know, come down to Camden Yards. He should be the coach. So it's hard. But you can, like, this is our nation's team, and they are really, really good. It isn't that... The other teams aren't good. They are also good, but these women are so fucking good. They manipulate this ball on the field like I've never seen happen before.
I wish people could see your hand gesture. That's right.
They run, they run forward towards the ball, and then after they pass over the ball, it's going southeast from them. How did you pass the ball? And there's someone there to get the ball. It's really incredible to watch them play this sport. It's incredible to watch all of them. Like, it's the World Cup. These are elite athletes. But our U.S. women's national team is really crazy good, and I hope you all watched because it's a fun thing to watch.
And if you didn't, it's
no
probably
flopping.
Over now.
No flopping. They just keep playing. It's it's like an hour and a half because there isn't any stoppage time because they all just keep playing.
What is – can we talk about the flopping? I don't understand – like, what is that? Like, it's...
I don't know. Those guys have a lot of pressure on them to bring home a victory, so I think they use anything they can to their advantage. I'm not making excuses. I think it's really lame and stupid, and it's hurting your sport, but anything they can do to get an advantage over the other team, they just do it.
But it's... If any of you haven't seen soccer, this is how it goes. Okay, so, like, two guys from the opposing teams will be charging towards a ball... And they'll make the slightest amount of, like, acceptable contact. And then one of them will explode like they were shot out of a cannon, flop onto the ground, and clutch a body part as if that body part has just been completely dislocated. They'll writhe around on the ground until someone walks up, like, with a stretcher, like they're going to... like carry them off the field, but then what they do is they, like, kind of attend to whatever, like, you said, they're holding their leg or whatever, they'll look at the leg, they take out a canister of, I can only assume, air, and just pretend to spray it on the leg in this very elaborate thing, and then this person who looked like, you know, they would never walk again, just after, like, a few minutes, just springs back up and starts running down the field as if nothing has happened.
That is a very accurate and vivid description.
It's so infuriating to watch. It's why I quit, Dad. It's not. I didn't do any of that.
Yeah, you heard me, Dad.
I wanted to go to theater where the acting is better.
I want to dance.
Say what you will, but we learned stage combat. We could have sold that.
Yeah, yeah. Stage combat was good.
We had some good, from what I remember. I never want to see footage now of how any of our plays looked. But in my memory, those fight scenes looked good.
What fight scenes were you in, man?
West Side Story.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I got kicked out of that show.
And The Outsiders, which was, I think... No, that was your freshman year, right? You were there.
That was my freshman year. I wasn't in that show. I didn't get cast because I was a freshman. It's discrimination. I don't stand for it.
I played Johnny. I got the part because they cast someone else as Johnny, and then he wasn't eligible. And I had been cast as Bob the Soch, and I had like 3 lines in the whole play. So I had a lot of free time to not do anything. So every day that kid, he just stopped showing up. And so I was like, well, I'm available to read the lines.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, this guy, I don't know, he's read all the lines a bunch of times. He's a foot taller than Pony Boy, but let's go with it.
I dated a guy in that show.
You dated a guy in that show?
I dated a guy in that show. I must have said this on the podcast, that I had a boyfriend for a day.
Go on.
I had a boyfriend. You guys, I had a boyfriend for a day.
There was a kid.
No. Well, basically, yeah, because it was this kid. It was this kid, Jason. Remember he played Pony Boy's brother?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And he was openly gay, and I was confused. And we just, like, I don't know, we were just friends. We were friends in theater, and we would, like, hang out and talk and stuff. And then he, I don't know, he was like, you want to be my boyfriend? And I was like, yeah. And then we went out for a day. And then the next day, he was like, you're not gay. And I said, nope, I'm not. Sorry.
I just, you know, don't feel pressured to fill in those gaps. But was there any, like, middle of that story that you're leaving out?
Well, no, there. Yes, I think the middle of the story was that day that we were boyfriends. We hung out after school, and like, physical stuff was probably expected, and I was not forthcoming with it.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then the next day, I was confused, but then you get into the situation, and you get a little scared or whatever, and then the next day, he's like, you're not gay, and I said, yeah, I'm not, but sorry, I don't know. It was really, you know, like every one of my and yours and probably everyone's high school experience, it was very dumb and awkward and unnecessary. And then that was it. And then we go to, this is many years later, I stand next to Elisa again, you know, as we do, because we were at a funeral. And Jason was there, and I'm standing next to Elisa, and I was like, oh my fucking God, my ex-boyfriend is here.
Oh, wow.
She's like, oh, do tell. And then I basically told her the same thing I just told you guys. And it was like, that's really stupid. I don't think you can call him your ex-boyfriend. I was like, no, I have an ex-boyfriend. Everybody.
You're really holding on to that.
Yeah, I have an ex. So stupid.
You should go to Pride and just tell that story.
No, I will not. Because remember, this was off the air. But like, I remember talking to you about how I used to get beaten up in high school. For many reasons, but one of which, from these group of three boys, I was beaten up for being gay, which I wasn't. I never have been. And remember, I had that whole crisis of, hey, Joel, was I a victim of a hate crime?
Yeah. Which is, it's still a good question. I mean, it was a hate crime,
I think where we landed was they committed a hate crime, but I wasn't a victim of a hate crime.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. That feels good.
There was a lot. I hope, you know, I don't have a lot of optimism that any of high school gets better for anyone these days. But I do hope that maybe these kids today are a little less with the gay panic. You know.
Yeah, I would hope so. You want to imagine there's less F-bombs going around.
Yeah, because I remember, like, and I may have told this on the air or not, but, like, sure. The aforementioned Justin and I, who were friends in high school, there was some girls who decided to write some disparaging things about us, like, to imply that we were gay, like, by writing them on the back of flats in the theater, which is so weird on a number of levels, because, one, we're all doing theater. Two, there are a number of people who are actually gay, who are, like, in this play, either out or, you know, not out yet, you know, who are figuring it out. Like, what a weird
space. But they're basically out because we all know.
But, like, what a weird space to be homophobic.
Yeah, very weird, right? Yeah. I never got that. Because, here's the thing. I wish there needs to be a movement. It's a very weird culture in which we live, in that I think things would be better if, as men, we could show each other more affection. Like, we don't have, for whatever reason, I'm not going to go into dad and then his dad and then Cats in the Cradle and all that horse shit. But, like, the minute two men start showing each other affection, like, this is a man. He is my friend. I love him. And, like, I want to, like, sometimes put my arm around him. Hey, man, it's good to see you, or whatever. As soon as you do that, it's like, whoa. Hey, bromance. Hey, mandate. Like, even today, it turns into that. Like, it's a, like, what the fuck is a bromance? He's my friend. Yeah. I love him. Give me a break.
Yeah, we're not good with the male intimacy. We don't really know what to do with it. Yeah. I don't know. We haven't really figured that out. Yeah, and I think it feels particularly American. Yeah, and I think maybe just because, like, we're talking about high school. Like, I remember we had foreign exchange students come from Italy. And I remember that was, like, a thing in high school that we'd all kind of be like, oh, my God, do you see, like, the way they're sitting so close together and they're putting their arms around each other? Like,
their jeans are so tight.
Well, their jeans were tight. I mean, that was just an accurate description. But you know what I mean? I remember that, like, it felt, like, weirdly cultural, like, of just noting, like, how they would group together closer. And I feel like other cultures are, like, they're more, I don't know, men are more affectionate, you know?
Yeah, they were. One of those Italian exchange students came up to me, like, we became friendly, and he came up and he was like, I don't know what he said. He said something in Italian or a beautiful accent. I don't remember what it was. But, you know, I'm in high school. We're all in high school, and our complexions aren't great. And he came up and popped a zit on my face.
Whoa.
He was like, oh, you have a thing on your face. Let me get that for you. And he popped a zit, and I was like, what? How did you? What are you? Are we married now? What's going on?
That's weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Can we also talk about how insane it is that that's a thing that happens? Like, do you ever, like, think about that? Like, I don't know. Like, it just struck me of, like, how did that ever, like, so there's a program, and a lot of schools have them, where it's like some kids from your school in, like, our, like, podunk town that we grew up in.
Indian Head, Maryland. And I apologize to everyone for that name. I did not name it, but it's Indian Head, Maryland.
But they're definitely not having any discussions about changing it. So, like, there was just a thing where it's like, so a group of you are going to go to Italy and live there with a family that you don't know,
right,
in a town that you're not familiar with for, like, a month.
Rome. Not to mention the fact that these kids from Rome, Italy, had to come and live in Southern Maryland for a month.
But it's still, they lose 100% this exchange. But that's just crazy that we do that. Like, that everyone makes it back, that, like, it works out. What an insane thing.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I'm in our friend Drew. We're in his basement, and his exchange student is like, where do I get weed? And we're like, I only know one place to get weed. So now we have this foreign exchange student in Southeast Washington, D.C. in the mid-90s, trying to cop weed from this guy on the corner so our exchange student can get high because he won't let it go. Yes, the whole thing was a mess. How anyone got back to their respective homes is beyond me.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, like it's, I can't even imagine the meeting when the first time this was proposed.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been a different time is all I can really think is like, cause it just, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's always like now these days, especially we always talk about like how parents are overprotective or like, participation trophies or whatever, but no, we just let like impressionable young, like, you know, these teenagers just go to a foreign country that they're not familiar with and just wander around. Not supervised. Yeah.
So we understand that you've never left Charles County, Maryland, except when you go to Akakik, to the Beretta factory. But you're going to go live in Rome for a month now. Mm-hmm. So good luck.
We've taught you, I don't know, a few phrases in Italian.
Yeah. Yeah. You know the curses. So
fanculo.
Cazzo.
That was one of the curses. I know it.
so dumb.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is our pop culture podcast. Maybe we should say something pop culture. I am worried about how the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is going to handle Adam Warlock. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, okay. I'm excited that they're making that movie.
Me too.
Yeah. I will say, I don't know if this counts as pop culture, but it does. I started watching The Chef Show on Netflix.
Yeah, I got it. You know what? I put that in the queue, but I haven't checked it out yet. Is it good?
Well, I will say, as a warning to everyone, the first scene of the first episode has Gwyneth Paltrow in it. So just be prepared. I'm not saying, like, just know that they're at Goop headquarters, and while, like, amazing chef who I love, Roy Choi, is doing his best, he does have to, like, he makes a pepper pot for her, which is adorable. But it's like, well, but we have to make it for Goop. So like, you know, we modified the ingredients to put jade eggs in it or whatever they're doing.
Yeah. I've designed it so you can shove it up your ass.
Yeah. And then infuriatingly, and it did not seem like a bit. So they're talking. So they kind of sweet. We'll do a compliment sandwich, except open-faced compliment. I'll say something nice about Gwyneth Paltrow before I insult
open-faced
her.
Open-faced compliment sandwich.
Because I only have one nice thing to say.
Okay.
But they reveal, and this is maybe why she's in the first scene, that the reason that... So the whole thing, if people don't know, Jon Favreau is doing the show with Roy Choi. Roy Choi is a chef in L.A. who Jon Favreau worked with on his movie Chef, who like taught him how to be a chef. Because the whole thing is he's playing a chef who owns like food trucks, who's like classically trained, but then decides to do food trucks, which is what Roy Choi did. But they met, apparently, like they reveal in this opening scene, when Gwyneth Paltrow hired the Kogi truck for the first Iron Man, like as the wrap, okay. Like at the end of the shoot, she like paid to bring the truck. So that's a really cool thing that Gwyneth Paltrow did. And that's the first time that Jon Favreau met Roy Choi.
Sure.
And Roy Choi, like he is a self-confessed, like super like nerd, was like, so he was like, that felt really legit to us. Cause they were like a newer thing at that point, and it really kind of like legitimized them and it felt like this really big boost. And it also turns out that now that's become a tradition. So like Marvel continues to hire them.
That's rad.
Like, yeah. Also, I'll throw out like as a free plug to this thing, like Molly and I have like gotten food from Kogi like a number of times because it's really fucking good. It's Korean barbecue tacos.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, like, if you follow them on Twitter, they go everywhere in L.A. So if you just pay attention, they'll come somewhere near you. And they're cheap. They're really good. But anyway, all of that to say, so they're, like, making this pepper pot with Gwyneth Paltrow. And then they're just reminiscing, her and Jon Favreau, about these various movies. And he says something to her about, like, yeah, well, that was on the set of Spider-Man. And she looks at him and she's like, I wasn't in Spider-Man. And he's like, yeah, you were. Like, Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, you know, you were in it. And she, like, it's not a bit, like, it's so sincere that she looks at him and she's like, no, I'm in the Avengers. Like, I think you're thinking of the Avengers. Like, I wasn't in Spider-Man.
She was in Spider-Man.
And that's the thing. He goes like, no, the end of Spider-Man Homecoming. And he describes the scene to her. And then she's like, oh, okay. Fucking Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't know she's in Spider-Man.
God damn it. How the fuck? What sort of life do you live?
That you don't know that you're in one of these, like, wildly successful Marvel movies?
It's Spider-Man.
Yeah. Plus, you filmed the scene. Who did you think Tom Holland was? I guess, I don't know. Maybe she thought it was the Avengers or something. I don't know. Like, whatever.
She doesn't know. She shows up. Oh, and good news. Do you know they have goop for men now? So, my dear sir, if you would like to buy a plain gray sweater for $500, they got you covered, my friend.
I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
It's really gray.
I will say, so the second episode of The Chef Show, they go to, I think it's Atlanta, and there's a dinner where it's the two of them, you know, Roy Choi and Jon Favreau are at a table with Robert Downey Jr., Tom Holland, Kevin Feige, the guy who is in charge of all the MCU movies, and then the Russo brothers, the guys who direct these, like, Endgame and all those. They're all having dinner together. And, like, that was really fascinating. I found myself, like, what I was focused in on is because Robert Downey Jr. is kind of in the back corner, and he's not really, like, he's being kind of quiet. You know, he's just sitting there. It's like a group of people having a conversation, and he's kind of sitting back and he's just, like, listening to everyone mostly. But I just had a thing, like, watching Robert Downey Jr. listen to someone, he does that thing where, like he'd lean in and, like, he's, like, really focused. Like, you're talking, I'm giving you all of my attention. And it was, like, oddly riveting to just watch Robert Downey Jr. listen to people. Because it was, like, he's really listening to people. And I kind of had this, like, that's why that guy's a fucking movie star. He's not, he's doing nothing. And, like, someone else is talking. And I'm like, no, but I want to watch him listen to that guy talk.
Yeah, yeah. That's a star.
Yeah.
That is a star.
But it's,
I'm missing, sorry, man. I'm really preoccupied because I'm missing a Russo brother.
Their names, MCU their first names? Movie.
No. Oh, it was Winter Soldier. It was Infinity War and Endgame, and then what? There was Civil another War. One.
You're missing Civil
yes.
War.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. I was missing Civil War. Okay, yeah. We can continue now. That was really bothering me.
I also learned from that chef show that apparently Tom Holland does a lot of his own stunts. He's really good at tumbling around, and he really does all that stuff.
Yeah, Lucas. Every time I see him, it's Lucas. All I think of is Lucas from the Impossible. It was the... It was the tsunami movie that he was in with Ewan McGregor. It's a really good movie, and I think it's called The Impossible. And
I never saw
they
it.
They just his character's name was Lucas, and everyone yells Lucas all of the time. So every time I see Peter Parker, I just go Lucas. Lucas.
Was he British in that one, or he was American?
He was. He was. Yeah. They were. It was a British family.
Yeah, because I know that he has a British accent, but I was still trying to get used to that, like watching him, like because he's like talking.
No, you guys, check it out. It's Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts, and it's about the tsunami that hit Thailand, and it's a really, really it's not an easy watch because a tsunami happens, but it's a really good movie. It was well done.
It's also fun, like, now having just said that about Tom Holland, with both Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts, I can't I'm not confident in what accents either one of them are doing in the movie. Like,
yeah,
I feel like anyone could be doing anything.
Yeah, it's funny. I was listening to, so I was watching the new season of Jessica Jones, which I'm really into. I like it so much better than the second season, which was okay. But I don't know. I'm really digging it. Have you watched it at all?
No, because I had I need to get over it. But, like, I was kind of pouting because I was like, I don't want to watch this if you just canceled all these and there's not going to be any more. Yeah. Like, it felt weird. Like, because it it's unfair to the show, but it, like, I don't know what it changes, but it's, like, weird to know that it's canceled before you even watch the season.
It is. It is weird. And they're really going for it, too. Like, Mindwave is in there, and Fool Killer is in there. It's, they're really just balls out, and it's kind of working at this point. I don't know. The first four episodes of any of any show can be good, but I don't know. I'm digging this. The woman who plays all I can think of is Hellcat. What's her name? Patricia Walker, who's been really consistently good through all of Jessica Jones. There was one scene. She has been so many hours of content. I've watched this woman, and she's from Australia, and she's playing, you know, someone from New York. And she said like a whole paragraph in an Australian accent. And I'm like, what? We don't want to do that again. I think, is that the best take? Because she's really good at an American accent, but that was not one. She was like, maybe we should wait and see what he does. And I'm like, that's not even, it was bizarre.
I still remember, and now I can't remember which one it's in, but one of the Batman movies, I remember that, Gary Oldman, who does a really good, like, I really like his Jim Gordon, but there's like one scene where he's on a rooftop and he's yelling at Batman, and apparently like yelling in the American accent, not so easy for him.
Not so easy. And he wasn't, I remember that scene cause it was in The Dark Knight, and he wasn't yelling at Batman. He was yelling at Harvey Dent.
Oh yeah.
They had just absconded with all the money, but left the traceable money behind.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, there's obviously a leak in your department. I'm like, what are you?
Yeah, it's like, no one heard this? I mean, granted, this is the movie where, you know, Christian Bale is being Cookie Monster. Maybe, was it really loud on set? Maybe no one could hear anyone's, you know. Like, the headphones weren't working, and Nolan was like, well, how bad could it be? It's got to be. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm sure the sound's fine.
Yeah, that's how they disguise it. Like, I'm not from Australia. I'm not from Wales.
Man, I was watching Good Omens, which is really good, but it was really funny to me that they had a scene. So like slight spoiler, I guess, but not really. Like at the end, they end up going to this American military base. You know, the whole thing is set in England, but the end of the movie, they go to an American base in England. And there was a guy who was the guard that's like stopping everyone. And his accent wasn't bad, but he was doing an American accent, but it was just like, he couldn't, like, he didn't pick any kind of region. So he was just doing this generic, like, it sounded like almost right, but it was just so non-committal in its like Americanness that it just sounded like, it was like, hey, you can't be here right now. Like, this is a restricted area. Like, it was like he didn't commit to like any inflection. Like, it was, I'm just going to speak as flat as possible. That's how Americans. So like, it was odd because I was like, you're British. Like, you're so clearly British and like kind of doing a passable something. But like, no one talks like this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I hear when Liam Neeson is doing an American accent. It's just,
it's not an American accent. It's just, I'm Liam Neeson. This is how I talk. This is normal. I'm American.
I will find you and I will kill you.
I do love that he took over for Arnold Schwarzenegger as guy who is clearly not American, who just gets cast as like Johnny America. Like,
yeah, let's look at Arnold Schwarzenegger's names. Let's see.
Well, he's Canadian in one because he was Barry Gordy or like
Gordy Brewer.
Gordy Brewer, yeah,
was the 9/11 firefighter movie.
But that's
it. Wasn't even about that. It's just that after, so he was making Collateral Damage, and then 9/11 happened, and before they released the movie, they changed his character to be a firefighter named Gordy Brewer. Brewer. John Matrix. What the fuck kind of name is that? Dutch is probably the most accurate one, but his name was just Dutch.
You get why they call him Dutch, though. That sure tracks. But yeah, But yeah, it just, it never came up. Like, and also, fucking True Lies, he's supposed to be a spy. And it's like, in what world? What, you're covert? Like, you're going somewhere.
You're very... You're very noticeable in a crowd, John Tasker. Yeah. John Tasker?
But also, like, everywhere you go, like, you, okay, so you showed up somewhere in a suit, and then, you know, I don't know, like, whatever happened, you stole some intel. When they're sitting there later and realizing that the intel has been stolen, and they're just running through it, well, who was there that stands out? You know who it was? The 7-foot-tall Austrian guy. Let's look into him. Remember him? I don't remember anyone else.
I think, to be fair, I think he's only 6 foot tall, but he is huge. He's literally Mr. Universe, and he's standing there in a tuxedo. He's the only person with that accent. You remember this man.
Yeah. Like, I believe that Tom Arnold is probably better at the job than him. Just in terms of, like,
no one will remember Tom Arnold. I forgot Tom Arnold was in that movie until you said his name just now.
See? He's a good spy. I forget about Tom Arnold for long stretches.
Long stretches. Yeah. It's basically every time says Tom Arnold's name, it's a reminder to me that he exists, which I wish him all the best, but I just forget about you, Tom. My bad.
Doesn't it feel like if we don't hear about Tom Arnold, that's good? Things are probably going well.
They're probably going well. If he's at the forefront of the news, then some shit has gone sideways.
Yeah. Otherwise he's Randy Quaid. Like, I know what Randy Quaid's up to, and it's not
every
good.
Time you see Randy Quaid in a headline, you're like, no, Randy Quaid, what did you do?
Just stop it.
Stop.
Yeah. Oh. Just feel bad for Dennis.
Yeah. Feel bad for Dennis. Anyways, I guess we can pull back the curtain now. It's actually Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid is my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. You guys dated for one day.
One day.
You didn't
one
put
day.
Out.
I, it wasn't going the way he envisioned. So he broke up with me.
It's really funny because I don't know about you, but all I'm picturing, based on this riff is his role in Not Another Teen Movie, at the end where he takes two pies and says he's going to have a 3-way.
I forgot all about that.
I didn't, because if you want to guess how recently I've watched Not Another Teen Movie, it's come probably on. Within the last, like, month.
Yep. Here's the thing. Okay, look.
I got really excited. You know, we watched Endgame, then you were like, I like this Chris Evans. What else can I watch that he's in?
I like, to bring it back to the beginning, I like playing trivia. I'm a trivia guy. I'm especially, like, a popular culture trivia guy. And so is Sam Levine. If I ever see Sam Levine, though, here's what I'm going to say to Sam Levine. Hey, Sam Levine, girl go pee-pee, not something I want to see-see, is a line you said in a movie where you were pretending to be Asian. That happened on our planet.
Yeah.
Girl go pee-pee, not something I want to see-see.
Yeah, and then that girl, like, shits all over everything.
Yeah, then she poops a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She does poop a lot.
Yeah. And then comically farts to end that scene. It's what I'm saying is, if you haven't seen stuff. Not Another Teen Movie, I recommend it. Chris Evans could not be better. Like,
he's perfect, Captain America.
He's perfectly cast. And also, if you're like, you know what? I've seen him play Captain America. I've seen him, you know, he's got America's ass. You know what you haven't seen if you haven't seen Not Another Teen Movie?
Banana in his butt?
A banana in his butt as he's wearing a whipped cream bikini.
Yep, that happened in that. What a weird movie.
It's a weird movie. It's great. It's really wonderful. Molly Ringwald shows up at the end. I recommend it. It's good. I believe it's on HBO. I think that's where I watched it. So
Okay. You guys, go watch Not Another Teen Movie. It's horribly offensive, and you really need to see it.
Yeah, it's horribly offensive. Sometimes, like the Sam Levine thing, it's offensive under the guise of, like, parodying, like, other offensive things.
Yeah, because we've talked about on this show before, I don't know how many times, the 80s were the most unkind in pop culture to our Asian American friends.
Yeah, it was not good.
Not good.
Long
not
Duck good. Dong is the name of a character.
That's the name of a character. Short Round was one. Slick Shoes. I'm going to say Slick Shoes. I'm just going to throw out the phrase Slick Shoes. deal with slick shoes.
It's bad too because Short Round, that actor was cast in two offensive roles.
Like he was. And listen, I think the most sensitive person to approach Asian American culture was John Carpenter.
Yeah.
It was John Carpenter.
And even that's not great.
Not great.
It's for the time, it's amazing. But like,
yeah,
it was a very misguided but clearly sincere effort, I think.
Absolutely.
That John Carpenter
Absolutely.
Made.
And also don't forget that I think it was in 1988, The Last Emperor won Best Picture, and zero people have seen that movie, mm-hmm. which is bizarre to me. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
Yeah, no one has ever seen that movie. Yeah. The Last Emperor won Best Picture. I don't know. Maybe we should all watch this movie.
Maybe. I don't know, but like, I don't know about you, but for me, something winning Best Picture doesn't...
It used to, though. It used to hold clout. It used to be, oh, it was nominated or it won, and you're going to watch it, and you're going to watch a good movie. Now, I don't fucking know.
We live
Green
in a,
Book.
I was just going to say, we live in a post-Green Book society.
Like, Crash.
You can't trust anything.
You can't. It's weird.
Man, Crash.
Crash.
That movie happened. Honestly.
It happened. Like, it took me 3/4 of the way through before I realized what bullshit I was watching. I'm like, this is really interesting, and... Oh my God, you're really going for it. This is a crazy, you're really, holy crap. This movie, wait, it's bullshit. Yep, I just saw it. It's all horse shit. What a pile of crap.
You know what I just realized too? Like, I don't think I've ever pieced together. Crash is basically just like the Love Actually of racism. Like, what if we just get a lot of famous people in it? And like, instead of a holiday, it's racism.
I don't disagree with that. Oh, that's going to fuck up my whole day.
Although, if you really, you know, gun to my head, made me pick one of them to watch again, it's definitely Love Actually.
Well, yeah. Always watch Love Actually.
Yeah, let's get pissed and watch porn.
Yeah, it's saccharine Christmas bullcrap. I'll watch that all goddamn
it's
day.
It's Christmas. The one day of year when everyone tells the truth. We all know that about Christmas. That's a thing that happens every Christmas.
It's a tradition. We all tell the truth.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Except that thing about Jesus being born that day.
The lobster. And what the fuck is that? Anyway, we're way off topic at this point.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Also, all the fat shaming of the woman who is not overweight.
Who is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think she's... Oh, my God.
Feels like that fucking Twilight Zone sketch.
Yeah.
With the pig noses where you're like, no, come on. Like, what are you guys talking about?
What do you mean, pudgy? That woman, look at that woman. She is perfect.
Yeah, I don't... Like, you're insane. You're all insane. Yeah,
absolutely insane. Anyways, to sum up, if anyone's read an Adam Warlock story that doesn't involve the Infinity Stones, I'd really like to know about it because I cannot. I've never read one and I can't find one. So show me an Adam Warlock plot that does not involve Infinity Stones.
Yeah, wasn't he specifically created? Like, didn't he debut in the like first Infinity War comic? Like, or
yeah, and he actually created the. An Infinity team. That was not what their name was. It was Infinity Team something or other. And he was put in charge of putting these people in charge of keeping an Infinity Stone so that someone couldn't put them all together. And then there was another one. What was it? There was another something on those lines. I just don't know that I've read a story about Adam Warlock that did not involve Infinity Stones or the Gauntlet or
It is weird because I remember when they teased it at the end of Guardians 2 that then everyone got excited of like, oh shit, like you're debuting him right before Infinity War. And then like, I remember at the time James Gunn came out and said like, no, it has nothing to do. It won't be.
It doesn't. Because apparently, there's a 4-year gap in between Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Infinity War. So whatever happened with Adam happens within that 4-year period, is what I'm guessing.
I guess.
That doesn't involve Infinity Stones?
I don't know.
I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying why introduce the character if you're not going to use him for his intended purpose?
Yeah, I don't know. At some point, Kevin Feige, if we could sit down at a dinner in Atlanta and you could explain to me the timeline at this point of these movies, because like,
it's only
going to get more confusing going forward.
It's
going
to get way more confusing. I don't know what's happening, because in that story as well, I think Drax was in charge of the Power Stone and Thanos was in charge of the Mind Stone. He had another stone. It doesn't matter. What happened, though, was Thanos was chilling, and then Drax decided he was going to use the Power Stone to punch a hole in Thanos's chest and rip out his heart, which literally happened.
Yeah, that's a good
move. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, I feel like we've been reminiscing too much, but those are things that actually happened. So I don't know what they're going to do with Adam Warlock.
All I know is this Far From Home is coming out soon.
Yeah, real soon.
And I don't understand what the deal. Like, I want to be into this movie, but I'm so confused. Like,
it's a post-Endgame universe, right?
Yeah, I'm like so baffled. I don't understand how
Jake Gyllenhaal is Mysterio. What?
I feel like, and again, I won't spoil it in case you haven't seen it. I don't know what person listens to this show, wants to see Endgame, and hasn't seen it yet. But in case you exist, I won't spoil it. But the shit that happens in that movie is so crazy. The next movie after that should be a bunch of people sitting around going like, that shit was crazy. Like, no one should be doing anything.
You guys are going to go on a field trip to Europe. No! Yeah. Shit is too crazy.
Also, again, to tie it all back to what I was saying before, don't let them go on that field trip. Like, I don't know. Actually, you know what? New York is not safe, so maybe they are safer in Europe.
I don't know. Look, I thought the Vulture is a stupid villain. Spider-Man has a lot of stupid villains, but the Vulture is up there.
It's going to sound like hyperbole, but I mean it. Fucking Michael Keaton deserves an Academy Award for making the Vulture compelling.
Yes. Well, someone fucking does, because that was a really good character, because in the comics, he's an old man, and he sucks people's life force out to keep himself young. And that's all the Vulture does. And he can fly somehow? It doesn't make any sense.
He's just like an old man with like horseshoe gray hair, you know?
Yeah. When you guys, I know that meme is in vogue right now. When this podcast comes out in 2 weeks, maybe it won't be. But me and the boys, one of them is the Vulture.
Yeah. But
he's super lame, and that character that Michael Keaton portrayed, that was written by some genius, was not lame at all. It was very, very cool.
No, and the scene where he drives them to the dance that's the best scene. That's the reason to watch that movie.
His attitude, his motivation, his arc, they're all really good. But now you got Mysterio, which is a weirder character. He is like little cubes that make people see different realities. It's really stupid. Mysterio's dumb.
What's also falling into, like, you were super early leaning into the idea of, like, I don't understand why everyone wouldn't put together that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, because they've now gone on two field trips, and in both field trips, I assume, like, Peter disappears and then Spider-Man shows up, and one of them is in Europe. Like, it doesn't seem that hard. DC, you're like, okay, maybe Spider-Man wandered from New York to DC and just happened to be around, but, like, he happened to show up in Europe when we're all here, like, on a field trip, and Peter Parker's missing.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think one of the best things the MCU did was get rid of secret identities, but I guess Peter Parker still has to have one. So
it's weird, because it feels so central to his character. And then the only time he's revealed it was in the Civil War comics, where he took his mask off. But even that, because comics, they just like undid it at some point.
They just undid it.
Nope. Yeah. Because they realized it wasn't sustainable. So they were like, no, now everyone forgets that they know.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of lame comic book stories, have you watched the show Happy?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Is there a reason that you haven't?
There's too much TV.
Okay. Well, it's Chris Maloney and Patton Oswalt, and it's very dark. It's very brutal. It's very funny. What I thought had happened was, Joel definitely hasn't watched this show, because he sees that it's been created by Grant Morrison and will refuse to watch it.
Oh, good. No, I hadn't watched it, but now I definitely will not watch it.
I really thought, because I think you would really like it, but then I also believe that you would never watch it because it was created by Grant Morrison.
I don't know. I'm willing to believe that Grant Morrison might be a good writer. People have said as much, but you know what he's not good at writing? Batman.
He's not good at writing Batman. He was not.
But that happens. I mean, you know, like, we all thought, oh, Nolan's really great at making these Batman movies. Let's have him tangentially involved in Superman, and that'll also be good.
Nope.
Sometimes people just know a thing, you know?
Yeah, when you get a project, you say, I'm going to write a Batman, but I'm going to break form. We all get excited. Okay, this is going to be something new. The form I'm breaking is everyone knows Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting approach.
Also, what if he has a kid? Also, what if he dies? Yeah, these are great edgy stories. You really nailed the character. Fucking, like, read Tom King, what he's doing right now, which is so genius, and he totally understands what he's doing, and it's different from anything I've read. Because, again, Tom King is like, what if Bane was trying to emotionally destroy Batman instead of physically destroy? That's a really interesting idea that does break form. Sure. But, yeah, anyway, we're way off. We got to end the show, but I do want to say, since we're here, I don't know if you've seen, Frank Miller has been hired to write a new Superman Year One. And apparently, in addition to the fact that I assume all of the women are sex workers. Hey, what if Lois Lane, you know, instead of being a reporter, had no agency? That'd be interesting, right? I'm Frank Miller. These are the edgy ideas that I come prepared with. But no, apparently, in this version by Frank Miller, Superman, Clark Kent, when he turns 18, he's not going to go be a reporter. He's going to become a Navy SEAL.
Clark Kent.
Clark Kent's going to become a Navy SEAL.
Why are you even doing a Year One shit? What are you doing? Just write comic books. Your comic books are so much better than everyone else's comic books.
Yeah.
Just keep being in comic books, DC. This movie shit is not for you.
Oh, no, this is a comic book. Sorry if that wasn't clear.
Oh, it is a comic book?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. They can ruin those as well. Yeah. I don't like it. It sounds like a dumb idea.
It's a dumb idea.
As him floating with whales.
They also canceled Vertigo, if you didn't see that.
I did not see that.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. They're reshuffling. They're doing some reshuffling.
Really ending on a downer here.
Yeah,
and
I don't.
And what else do you want to tell? Inhumans. That didn't work out either.
I don't know. I'm holding out till November.
Did you see Inhumans? Was Moondragon in that?
I never saw Inhumans.
Make a fucking Moondragon story. Yeah. Show me a Moondragon story. Just make, out of nowhere, produce a Marvel movie that has no continuity with anything and make Moondragon, because that's a good story. She is interesting and she's really jacked up and stupid and does a lot of fucked up stuff and she's awesome. Do that. Make Moondragon.
Let's end on this note, I think. So I don't know if you're going to get the Disney streaming service when it comes out, but if you do, what do you think you'd watch the most? I mean, the obvious answer is Civil War. But, like, because it's going to have all the Marvel movies. It's going to have all the Star Wars movies. So maybe Star Wars. I don't know. But, yeah. Like, what do you think if you got it? Do you think you'd just lock in to, like...
The Emperor's New Groove.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's what I would watch the most, I think.
I do feel like, I'm excited for all of it. I might cancel everything else and just only watch Disney streaming, because I want to watch all those.
Well, yeah, that's everything. They own everything.
Yeah, they own everything, so it's a good... But, like, that's a funny thing. They announced these, like, original TV shows. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your original TV shows. Like, I'll watch Aladdin 30 times. Like, I don't care. Like,
I want to see The Mandalorian.
Yeah, really, I mean, bad. I'll watch it, but, like... You know, I'm saying they'll probably be good and I'll watch them, but you could have gotten me to subscribe to this without adding any new stuff.
Yeah, no, you don't need original content. You have all the stuff that I love already.
Yeah, made. All the Star Wars and all the Marvels, plus like any old Disney movie that out of all of them are the hardest to find. Like if you want to fucking watch, you know, any of those like Little Mermaid or something, like it's not easy. Good luck. Try to track that down.
Yeah, they put it in the vault. They say they just stick it in the vault and then you can't have it anymore. It's in the vault.
Yeah. Also, all you know, this is the positive note that I'm going to end on. All of this just makes me think of my old neighbor, Paulino, who painted the cells on all of these movies.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he was great. There's an old podcast you can listen to where I talk to him. He's a really great dude, and I hope he's living in his best life.
So you'll probably just watch Rogue One on a loop, right?
Oh, yeah, it's the best one.
Yeah.
I want to watch that scene where Darth Vader's like, don't choke on your ambition. Choke. Get it? Because I'm choking. You, this tracks, right? I'm Darth Vader. You get that I'm doing a bit, right? Oh, you're dead. I killed you by accident. That scene.
That's it. That is that scene. I remember every third line he would go, I'm Darth Vader.
And then also where Peter Cushing's like, bleep, blorp, mer, mer, mer. I am here also. I am alive. This is natural.
And remember, kid.
Question everything.
Question everything.
That movie sucks.
Walls getting closer, the fights in your mind. Rise above the clouds, howling in the sky. All we burn to stay, it's been cloudy for days. I'm too far to reach, too scared to speak. I'll just stay inside, I don't sleep at night. Lost in my ghost world, don't put up a fight. I'm out of breath, just awaiting nightfall. If the reason finds us, then we'll be free from all. Clowns and sounds are spinning, dying under some tree. Outside space, stars dreaming. Oh.
No, it does not suck.
It's not good.
It's good.
Dude, Star Wars is such a mess. I want them to figure it. They're so good at everything else. Why can't they Star Wars?
Hobo Radio is a production of HoboTrashCan.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on iTunes. Hear more great shows on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network, like this one.
We Have to Ask. It's a podcast where we answer the question, are you going to eat that?
What will you leave behind?
Why get out of bed?
Will you be our neighbor?
I'm Marty.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're two hosts.
Infinite Universes.
We have to ask.
New interviews every Tuesday.
Find us on iTunes or online at wehavetoask.com or with the other great podcasts on the Peak Sloth Network at peaksloth.com.